for great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. It is 4 minutes past the hour of 10 on Thursday night here on the East Coast of the United States. You know what day and time it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show. And, you know, as I look through my my notes for today, I see that, well, of course, we had Target earlier in the week and all the brouhaha surrounding Target and the accusations that their employees had been threatened, yet nobody has come up with any concrete evidence of any threats. And again, if anybody was threatened, then they should find the person who threatened them and arrest them. But I haven't seen them. We also have other companies now. You know, Nike has resumed their relationship. They're going to be start selling once again Kanye West sneakers after cutting ties with him following his anti-Semitic statements. So there's always all these brands, and I think this is very telling, and I think it might apply to so many people. And I'll tell you where it's from in a second. Conservatives, either unwittingly or begrudgingly, support the agenda of the left through their investments, through their 401ks and other investments, and either they don't know any better, like it says here, or they're doing, they just don't know where else to turn. Full disclosure, for several years, I have, it's not a lot of money, but I did purchase shares in the American Conservative Values Fund. It's an ETF, and I like the concept. I like the concept. And after the Target situation, and now that I see what they have done over at the American Conservative Value Fund, I like them even more. So we are privileged to welcome in a gentleman who I just, not like I know him or friends with him or anything like that. I have nothing to gain from doing this. Just full disclosure that I do have some money invested in it. We welcome in the CEO and co-founder of the ACVF, the American Conservative Value Fund, William Flaig. William, welcome aboard, sir.
Steve, thank you for having me on your show, and thank you for your business.
And yeah, you're welcome. And that little conservatives, either wittingly or begrudgingly, that's on your website, and it's just so true, because it's so hard for the average person and even educated people to, when it comes to finances, to pick and choose, to keep up. But you make that easy for people like us. Me and you and others like-minded who care, you make it easy for them to do the right thing.
Well, that's our goal. You know, I've been in the business for over 20 years, and you know, very recently I keep seeing corporate America moving, more and more to the left. I see more and more investment options for, ESG type people or liberals, and I saw nothing for politically conservative people such as myself. I guess I ultimately decided to use my skills and my experience to try to build something to serve politically conservative investors. We've been doing it for a little over 2.5 years now, and I think we're getting pretty good reception.
All right, so talk to us about. By the way, I think it was Adidas that has resumed selling of Kanye West sneakers, not Nike. I apologize. So tell us about Target. What you did, when you did it, and why you did it with regards to the fund.
Yeah, sure. And actually, yes, it is Adidas, but Nike, we don't like Nike either. They're one
for other reasons, for a million other reasons. Yes.
So ultimately, we're trying to behave like the S&P 500, which is a widely followed large cap index. We start with more or less that universe of companies, and We screen out the companies that we feel are most hostile to conservative values, while still feeling confident we will behave like the S&P 500, which we've been successful doing that to date. And right now we are boycotting 34 companies, and they represent about 25% of the S&P 500. So more or less for every dollar invested in ACVF as opposed to an S&P 500 index, 25 cents of that stays out of the hands of these companies, so to speak. So one of the things we're kind of constantly doing, and I'm surprised at how many opportunities present themselves, is paying attention to what companies are doing. We are particularly concerned whenever a company, I just kind of call it as an umbrella, engages in political speech. That can actually be speech of the CEO of the company, or it can be, you know, the behavior of the company, if you will. And the concern there is that it's not necessarily in the best interest of the company's shareholders. That's the perspective. In addition to be conservative, the perspective I have with this fund is, you know, what's best for my shareholders. And whenever a company is engaging in political activity, political speech, I believe it's a misallocation of the company's resources, a misallocation of the shareholders' resources, and as a consequence will likely result in the company not performing as well as it should in investment terms in the future. So this is the mindset, and this is something that we're, you know, constantly looking for, and Target ran afoul of that. I think right on the heels of the Bud Light kind of story, which is it's a non-US company, so we couldn't act there. So that more or less set the stage for us to respond, Target's behavior.
And it's interesting because what you describe is kind of twofold. I mean, you have no interest in supporting through investments these companies, these woke companies who do these woke things, if you will. But you also extend that, of course, to the interests of the shareholder, believing, as you just stated, that in the long term, the performance of this stock Target that we're talking about, there are others too, but Target's performance will suffer because of their actions. So does it always have to meet those two criteria? Or if you see something that politically revolts you and you know it's not conservative values, doesn't reflect conservative values, but for some reason, and maybe you haven't run into this yet, or maybe you have, you don't believe that it's going to have much of an effect on the stock long term, short term, whatever. So you kind of leave it or get rid of it anyway. What's the deal with that?
Well, there's I'd say there's some clear-cut examples, and we try to use a weight of the evidence approach. In Target's case, and in particular, their Pride Month activities have kind of been building in the scope and the effort that they put to them over the last few seasons, and making it front and center this season, and then with some of the what they were stocking right there in the front of the store. Ultimately, it's we're an investment firm, investment professionals, and performance is what we want to deliver our shareholders. So at the end of the day, performance, if a company is, we're not super pleased with what we're doing, but we feel we need them in the fund for performance, we'll defer to the performance.
Do you own Kohl's? Have you owned Kohl's? And I'm sure you're aware that they launched a new line of LGBT plus clothing in honor of Pride Month. And these bathing suits and whatever else apparently are geared more. I mean, they're for 3 month old babies. They're for little babies, and they have the rainbow flag and other things. And where do you stand with Kohl's? What is it in your fund? And if it is, will it be there tomorrow?
Yes, we do own Kohl's. It's a smaller position. It's something where we're thinking about. I mean, at this point, we don't own Walmart. We don't own Target. So while still remaining diversified in that sector, we're kind of running out of choices. And I think we see this a lot of times in the industries where we're almost, say there's three or four major firms in that industry. You know, we've got to like pick the worst one and stick with the others. You know, we can't, for instance, sell all the big tech companies. So some of it is, the worst of the worst are the ones we're trying to focus on.
We're talking to William Flaig. He is the CEO and co-founder of the Conservative Values Fund, American Conservative Values Fund, ACVF. It's an ETF. And so, you know, look, just about every major corporation has hired the diversity chief, and they're all going with this same politically correct crap to one extent or another. And you just explained why you still have Kohl's, and you explained that you don't want to get out of, various sectors completely, again, for the good of the investor. But what happens as this progresses and gets further and further along and more companies, go this route to one extent or another? Can you see the fund being severely limited in its choices down the road, or would you never acquiesce to the conservative mindset at the expense totally of the shareholder? It's a fine line. It's a very fine line.
It is, and I think ultimately we'd like to have an additional product that focuses more on ideological purity in maybe the mid cap, small cap space where companies are a little similar, more simple in that regard. But I'd like to think that the pendulum, so to speak, has stopped swinging further and further left. I'd like to be a part of having that pendulum start swinging the other way. You know, I think companies, it's hard to believe they're getting it. You know, we've got Target, we've got Bud Light, we had, Delta and Coca-Cola with the Georgia voting laws. We've got Disney kind of always, stepping in it. So there's examples, a ready list of examples of companies that don't get it, but you lose, 33%, according to Gallup, 35%, something like that of people identify as conservative, politically conservative. A similar amount are, independent or non-committed, and 25% are liberal. So with this mindset of just focusing on the left, you are, you're reducing your customers by 30 something percent. And I think conservatives have been quiet and acquiescent. Nixon called it the silent majority. And I think that's got to change if we want the situation to change. And companies, now like Target, they're losing both. The reason why they're such a horrible investment now is so not only have they, come on the radar of conservative investors, and then as they try to repair that, they alienate, their most liberal investors, and now they're making nobody happy, right? So, so they're in a really bad place. But I'd like to think the change is starting, I'm optimistic in that regard, but it's a long road. Like I said, at best the pendulum is just stopping and starting to turn.
We a little good news today. It's nothing. I don't believe that you could purchase for your shareholders, but the Air Force called off a drag show at one of our bases. And it's believed they did so because our defense secretary recently testified before Congress to Matt Gaetz in response to Matt Gaetz' question about drag shows that are scheduled at bases around the country. And he looked very angry in responding. And he said, this is not our policy. I do not approve of them, blah, blah, blah. And at least in this case, in this instance, he's sticking by his guns. Let me ask you, I mean, as someone who has been doing this for 20 years in the financial business, if you look back now, if you were going to write a book about where we are now, and naturally one of the chapters, if not a good portion of the book, would be how we got here. So as it relates to businesses, as it relates to these businesses being influenced, threatened, blackmailed, I don't know what you want to call it. How did we get here that the, like I mentioned, just about every major corporation as a diversity officer, blah, 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 blah. How did it happen over the 20 years that you've been in the business? What have you seen?
Well, it's, you know, it's, In a certain sense, some of these things have been going on for a long time. One of the political consultants that that we used when we were setting up the fund, his father had set up a company, Accuracy in Media, Bias in the Media, and the company was founded in 1969. Right, so this is something that we think of as kind of being relatively new. It goes back away, but I think ultimately, we got ourselves here, and it's kind of been, you know, reinforcing itself to a certain extent, because companies, you know, the left has been effective in applying pressure to companies, to behave the way they like, if you will, and companies have kind of it's somewhat understandable, I guess, on a certain level, just taken a path of least resistance, right? We'll give them kind of what they want, as long as, you know, the conservatives don't get upset. And I think there's been periodic moments where conservatives, you know, do get upset, but then the fire dies down pretty quickly, and it's kind of business back to usual. So I think that's been kind of going on for quite some time. I think what's been happening, what I would want to focus on if I was writing about this, and this is, you know, maybe the book would be too technical for most people, so I'll try to be brief, but I think it's right. It's only recently, you know, I would say it's just been pandering and window dressing that the company's been giving to try to, you know, make the left happy, but I think, you know, in the last maybe 5 years, we're starting to see some structural changes which are alarming, because they're not so easily undone, and that's with you know, the large asset managers like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street, and the large pension funds like CalPERS, through the investment side of things, they've been able to put pressure on, you know, the companies directly to change their behavior. So, and then overall, on top of this, just the overall pressure that's been politically applied, right, on all levels. So I think it's just, I'd say it's just, I'm sorry, just lately the structural change that the big asset managers have been kind of building into the system. And it's because it's a business that they're making money on. I mean, they've turned, you know, they want to make money too. So any product that they can put ESG on or something like that, they can charge more money for. So it's a business for them. So it's kind of like becoming structural and of concern more recently than just the pandering that's probably been going on, you know, for 20 years.
Yep. Well, listen, tell people the best place to go for them to find out more about the fund. And if they are conservatives, if they are concerned about the investments they have, and if they would like to, you know, stay true to their political selves, if you will, where could they go and tell them what you could do for them?
Yep. I mean, so thank you again. So two things, you know, in your software that you use to manage your money in, just type the ticker ACVF, American Conservative Values Fund, in. It'll pull up all the details about the fund in your trading software. And our website is investconservative.com, investconservative.com.
Well, listen, I really appreciate the conversation. I'm sure we'll talk again. And I thank you for coming on, William.
Been great. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you. William Flaig, ladies and gentlemen, CEO and co-founder of the American Conservative Values Fund. That's interesting. It really is. You know, there are, it always bothered me. I know one person, a friend of mine, who's conservative and loves going to Disney. I mean, they have like a timeshare down in Disney in Florida, and God bless them. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I just don't know that, not without the commitment of a timeshare, I don't know that I could really go down to Disney anymore. I mean, there's no reason for me to. My kid is growing up. We did go down about three times or so as he was growing up, but I couldn't do that. If I put on a shirt or something that says Nike or sneakers that say that or whatever, I flinch. I'm like, oh my God, I really should throw these out or give them away because it goes against, my values. And it's a tough call. It's a tough situation. And then when it comes to money, if Disney's going up, why not get in? And it's really tough. It's really tough. Am I crazy about Apple? Am I crazy about a bunch of stocks, a bunch of companies? No, but do you invest in them? Yeah, you kind of do, either through funds unintentionally, or you don't really know, or you don't really care, or directly by buying the stock. So anyway, if you're interested, check it out. And I just hope that he's right about the pendulum. I'm not as optimistic about the pendulum at least stopping and not swinging so much to the left. I think we have a long way to go to the left. And Kohl's, I mean, I understand his, for business reasons, not wanting to dump out of Kohl's, but Target claims it's not for kids. The display is not for kids. The Kohl's display, Kohl's stuff that they offer on their website, that's for little kids, 3-month-old kids, LGBT. And by the way, before we go to break, let me ask you this. Have you bowed down and saluted an LGBTQ pride flag yet? Come on, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I mean, where I am, it's June 1st heading into June 2nd. Where you are, it might be June 2nd heading into June 3rd. There's only so many days in the month. And if you don't bow down and salute and kiss and praise and cry for the pride flag, well, something wrong with you. They're going to get you. Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Joe Hoft.
I just don't see how DeSantis is going to stay in the same room with Trump. I mean, he's just not there. But we'll see what happens. Trump's, of course, after they want to destroy Trump. I'm surprised he's, quite frankly, still alive. He's the deep state hates President Trump, and the Republicans do. Republican, and that's what Sundance was saying, the Republican establishment hates Trump. They hate Trump. He stole their cookie. They don't like Trump. They don't like the people supporting Trump. And it's amazing because it is the base of the GOP, largest base in U.S. history, largest by far. But they're going to put him in like 3 or 4 more cases, bogus cases, to keep him from trying to campaign. I just think the more they do it, the more he'll stand up. And my big question, will DeSantis stand up for this? Will he stand up for the 2020 election and want to get to the bottom of it? Will he want to really protect our elections? I mean, sure doesn't sound like it so far. He's making it sound like, oh, you just need to be a winner like me. Well, that's bogus.
Joe Hoft on TNT Radio.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Good to see you. How'd your 50th go the other week?
Yeah, it was a great night.
Good to hear. So, what's new?
Oh, not much.
Yeah.
Not much. Just a full-blown midlife crisis. How can I already be 50? Where's it all gone? What happened to new adventures, living in Europe, starting a business? I just feel exhausted. No energy for anything. Maybe I'm sick. Should go to the doctor. Do I really want to know, though? It's probably cancer. Definitely cancer. I've got to do something with my life before it's all over, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know how you feel.
You do?
Yeah, mate, I'm 58. I've been through it.
So you've been there?
Most of the blokes at this table.
Let your inner voice out at the men's table. Search themenstable.org for details.
You're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome back. So let's pick up with this. This is NBC News Now. I'm not sure where it airs. I mean, I'm not sure if it's on, you know, over the air, if it's on streaming or on one of their, you know, streaming platforms. I don't know. I just don't know where it is. I don't watch NBC that much. Maybe it's on early in the morning. Maybe it's on during the middle of the day. I have no idea. But during the middle of the day, they got soap opera. So I don't know. But that's neither here nor there, really. So they're talking about, as you'll hear in a second, Montana. And what Montana has had the nerve to do, becoming the third state to do it. And, of course, it affects Drag Story Hour. Oh, that's right. And they're going to introduce the NBC reporter in this to comment on this. Notice what they call the NBC reporter. Okay? I almost fell off my chair. Here is cut JU1.
Another state that's ramping up its anti-LGBTQ legislation.
Montana is now the first state to ban people dressed in drag from reading books to children at public venues like libraries and schools. These events are often called drag queen story hours. Montana's governor signed that bill into law earlier this week. NBC Out reporter Joe Yerkeba joins us now. So, Joe, what do we know about this bill and what makes it different from other bills we're seeing in other states?
Sure. So this new law in makes Montana the first in the country to specifically ban drag story hours in publicly funded places, and that includes publicly funded schools and libraries. And for those who don't know, drag story hours is a national reading program where drag performers read to kids, and the idea is that it promotes things like creativity and imagination. So Montana will be the first in the country to not specifically require sexual content and performances for them to be banned. And the sponsor of the bill, Republican Representative Braxton Mitchell, told me that drag queens are reading, quote, half naked to kids, and that's why he promoted this bill. Drag story hour performances notably aren't adult themed, though. So when I asked him for examples of this happening in Montana, he didn't respond.
Oh, he didn't respond to the NBC Out reporter. Did you hear them introduce this person? NBC Out reporter. Out reporter? Like outed? Like gay? Out? Now, does that mean that this reporter is out too? Or just covers out and outed type stories? Oh, God help us. I mean, really, really, God help us. Now, I don't know where to start. The intro from the female before they introduced the out reporter was another Montana anti-LGBT. How is this anti-LGBT? How? What right do drag queens? I can't believe I'm saying this. What right do drag queens have to read to school children at school? And at publicly funded libraries and publicly funded venues to children specifically. What right do they have? Do you have that right? Do I have that right? What do you mean anti-LGBTQ? How is this anti them? They could go on with their lives. They're not being denied a right. You don't have a right to go into a school and read to kids. You have to be granted access. So Montana is saying, uh-uh, no more granting access. I mean, this is just, if I was making this up, you'd say, oh my God, you're so corny. You're so bad. This is so obviously not true. This could never happen. Oh, it's happening. It's happening. If you don't want drag queens in the face of your little kids in school, you're anti-LGBTQ, PP, whatever it is. You're, yeah, oh, yeah. You're a this phobe and a that phobe and a phobe phobe here and a phobe phobe there. Here a phobe, there a phobe, everywhere a phobe phobe. Wow. Oh, we're not done. Here's cut J2.
Some people and organizations who are challenging this bill say it directly violates the First Amendment. What is their argument?
Yeah, so their argument is that it basically targets the content of drag performers' speech specifically. And already in Tennessee, a judge has blocked a similar law under that argument. And he said that it violated the First Amendment because it was vague and overly broad, and that Tennessee needed to make a really compelling case for why it was needed. And we expect to see something similar in Montana.
So, Joe, we've seen attempts to restrict drag performances in public venues in a few other states. Those are being battled out in court. This particular ban we're seeing here, do we think it could be an ongoing trend? Do we think other states might try something similar?
Yes. So Montana is the third state behind Tennessee and Florida to pass such restriction. It's unclear, you know, what states are likely to pass one next, but it's something that we definitely expect to see happen because at least 16 states have proposed similar measures. So this is definitely an ongoing trend where Republicans are trying to restrict the ability of drag performers to be out in public in front of minors or to read to them in places like libraries.
Boy, the more the out reporter opens her out mouth, and the words come out, the stronger the case for the bills that are being passed and talked about. Imagine not allowing drag queens to read to minors inside public schools and at public libraries. How dare us? How dare we restrict that? Oh my gosh. Oh my. Next we'll be banning anal sex from trans in schools to minors. Demonstrations. Gotta learn, right? Oh yes. Here's cut J3.
And speaking of that trend, what kind of messaging is all of this sending to the LGBTQ plus community? If more bills like this are passed, what could be the overall impact?
Right. So drag is a, you know, long art form practiced by the LGBTQ community. And so this is really sending a message that it's targeting their art form in particular and sending the message that they shouldn't be able to practice it, particularly in front of children, so that it's harmful to children in some way. And performers that we've spoken with have told us that really, you know, harms their ability to perform, but also hurts them as LGBTQ people.
Oh, it disturbs them as LGBT people. Oh, because it's an art form. It's an art form. And this prohibits them from practicing their art. No, it doesn't. Just stay the hell away from minor children. Go practice your art form. Go have drag shows. Go read to each other. Read to adults. I don't care. But they're disturbed because they can't come in and read to little kids in schools? Why? Ask yourself why. Who thinks of coming in and reading to little kids in schools? Who thinks of that? If your purpose isn't to fascinate the kids, to indoctrinate the kids, to groom the kids, then what's the purpose? What's the purpose? You think that some of the little kids, I've seen babies crawling on the floor in some videos. I'm not saying Montana. I don't know where it was. With drag queens doing splits and shaking and little kids, you know, not babies, but little kids shaking, you know, their butt and all that. Really? Is that your art form? Get it the hell away from kids. Here's cut J4.
Joe, just speaking, I know, with people all around the country, we're a week away from Pride. I know you've been in touch with people in the LGBTQ and drag communities. What is the feeling you're getting from folks as we head into Pride Month when there's supposed to be so much celebration, but we're seeing all these laws, including ones that are aimed at the drag community?
Yeah, people are anxious. They're afraid. They've told me that they don't plan on attending prides this year. Drag performers in particular are afraid that they'll be targeted violently or reported to the police. There's also a lot of conflation happening between drag performers and people who are transgender. So transgender people in Tennessee, for example, have told me that they're afraid they'll be reported if they perform karaoke in front of minors. So there's definitely a lot of fear happening right now ahead of Pride Month.
So much impact.
Oh, so much impact. So much impact. Thank you, NBC Out reporter. You could go back in now. NBC Out reporter. Oh, gosh. Okay. So this is this one now is at least a week old, but it fits in, and I wanted to play it for you. This is ABC News. That was NBC. This is ABC with a guest going after the Republicans, of course, for attacking trans people. Here's cut 224.
It often feels like people think that we as trans people dropped onto the face of the earth with Laverne Cox and Orange is the New Black, right? But we have a very long history in every culture and community on this globe since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And so one of my messages is just to remind people that we've always been here. We ain't going nowhere as well.
Yeah.
And then also for the members of community, that because we belong to this long line of trans brilliance, right, we will be able to make it past this moment.
Yeah. And part of the issue around this is that for many, movies and TV, that's their main exposure mm-hmm. to members of the community. And you say that visibility is a paradox because we're often seeing either violent depictions or exaggerated characters instead of just everyday people mm-hmm. just going about their lives.
I welcome trans people, drag queens, go about your lives. Practice your art form. Wave your flag. Just keep it away from children. Keep it away from minor children, especially the grade school children, especially when they're not with their parents. If parents want to bring their kids to see trans people perform as trans people, Like the Budweiser girl, whatever her name is, and maybe she performs. You want to go take your kid to go see that? Go ahead. I think there's something wrong with you, but go ahead. You should go and leave your kid with a babysitter. Okay? Same with drag queens. They want to perform? Go perform. I don't care. Perform for each other. Perform for any adult that wants you to perform for them. Leave the kids alone. That's all I'm saying. I don't care if you're gay, straight, this, that, the other, out, in. I don't care. Two things. Stay away from young children when their parents aren't around, because if you did it in a park, well, at least now you probably get applauded. But if you did it in a park a few years ago, you'd be under arrest. Number two, get this flag out of here. What's with the flag? And now I understand that where is this being going to fly? Oh, damn. Some government thing or some and it's going to, it's a new flag. It has special colors or so for trans. So it's been redone. Again, where's the flag? I mean, do straight people have a flag? Do people who Do people who like certain forms of sex and are straight, do they have a flag? Do they get honored at ball games? Do they expect you to salute their flag? Does it hang in a classroom with little kids? What the hell is this? A flag? You want your own country? All the better. Go. Go find one. Oh, my gosh. All right. Here's cut more ABC. We're not finished with ABC, demonizing Republicans. Here's cut 225.
We're trying to get to a place where people can treat us as regular folks and not treat us as some anomaly or some aberration in society. Visibility is a paradox because we are the most visible we've ever been as a community, but we are also facing, you know, an unprecedented legislative attack, right, on our lives, particularly the lives of trans women and girls. And it's really interesting I would say, because folks, like you mentioned, folks do believe that they have never met a trans person, right? And so they believe that the only things that they're getting about trans people are what they see on
screen. I love that you're using the word believe, because doesn't mean that that's the case.
Oh, it's not
the case. That's just what they believe.
Oh, I'm glad you made that clear, Miss Newsperson from ABC News. Well, what do you expect? ABC, Disney, The View, it's all the same. It's all the same. Oh, boy, that's the world. That's the world. And if we don't object, you ain't seen nothing yet. If this continues to its logical extension, combined with everything that's going on in schools, not drag shows, not just drag story time and trans books and stories of, you know, two mommies and how to have anal sex and all of it, you know, not having to tell parents that the kid wants to be called by a different sex or a different name or has an opposite pronoun or whatever the hell, you know, keeping it a secret from parents, encouraging transitioning of young children, getting them interested in it. Where do you think it's headed? I've told you this before. Where do you think it's headed? It all goes back to the Man-Boy Love Association. Look it up. About 20 years ago or so, or maybe a little more, there was something called the Man-Boy Love Association. And now we have people talking about, we got to get rid of the word pedophile. It has a negative connotation. These people who are attracted to minors should be called MAPS, minor attracted persons. And I've heard it said from some of these advocates for MAPS that, well, minors make decisions all the time. They decide if they're going to eat their sandwich. They decide this. They decide that. They decide who they're going to play with. They decide. So why can't they decide to have sex with an adult? That's where it's all headed. That and the breakdown completely of the family, Biden and Jean-Pierre, Karine Jean-Pierre, you know, they're not your kids. The children of this country belong to all of us. Do away with the traditional family. That's what it's all about. And by the way, Biden sniffs little girls, gets behind them, puts his hands on them, bends down and sniffs their hair and talks in their ear. And Karine Jean-Pierre is a lesbian. And they're the ones going around saying that kids belong to all of us. What's wrong with this picture? What the hell is wrong with that picture? All right. I do believe, as I look at the clock, that we have one final segment left in the show. And we'll get to it. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
One of the more repulsive things that has happened with the climate change issue is seeing all these people come out of the woodwork who do not love the weather for the weather's sake. They only love the weather when they can use it for their own purpose. And their purpose has nothing to do with the weather. It has to do with the political agenda. So another classic shows up. Back on May 9th, a friend of mine alerted me to the idea that we were predicting it to be very cold in India. And the reason we were looking in India was because we were also studying the cyclone. Remember how we were predicting the big cyclone to develop, right? So we were looking at the whole weather pattern in there. And he alerted me to the fact that it was a record-breaking month for applicants to climb Mount Everest, which was a pretty unaware thing to do, given how cold it was. So we let people know, right? So we've had 17 people tragically die up on Mount Everest trying to scale that. And what does the Guardian do? They blame climate change. And this is exactly what goes on, folks. They had no idea what was going to be happening with the weather, but as soon as it happens, and it's not because of climate change, they blame climate change. This agenda is one of deception, distortion, and delusion. And the examples are coming fast and furious because of the fact that there's a big offensive on the way now because they realize people are waking up to the whole scam. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to put that stuff aside and enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, that's me. Okay, so we're back. So here we go. 2 days ago, I played you Sunny Hostin, not her real name, racist, according to Newsbusters, on The View. And she was talking about how white suburban women are how they're led around by their husbands. It made no sense, but it's offensive because she's not white, you know, and she's it was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, that white women in the suburbs who are Republicans will vote Republican because it's what their husbands vote and they want their husband and their kids to do well. Well, isn't that why you would vote for someone? But she made it sound like it was nefarious. I also played you a soundbite of her prior to that in the past, calling white suburban women voting for Republicans cockroaches voting for Raid. Okay, so she's got a habit of trying to tear down white people, especially white women. So here on Fox News, this is Kennedy. You know Kennedy? She has I'll tell you in a second, but she has a show on the Fox Business Channel. She's also a regular on a bunch of the shows during the day as a panelist, and that's how she goes by the name, Kennedy. So they first played some of what Sonny Hostin said, and then Kennedy weighed in on it. Now, I also want to... Well, okay, so let's do that first. So here is cut J5.
Think that women, white women in particular, want to protect the patriarchy here because it's to their benefit. Yeah. They want to make sure that their husbands do well. They want to make sure that their sons do well. They want to make sure that their children do well. And they want to make sure that they do well. Most of the women in some of these studies are married white women, and they do fall in line with what their husbands are doing, how their husbands are voting.
Kennedy is the host of the aptly named Kennedy on Fox Business. You're a white woman, my sources tell me. Are you the root to all evil in this
obviously
country?
So a couple things here. I feel bad for the women of The View because they obviously have some brain damage being kept inside that fart vacuum next to Whoopi Goldberg. They have huffed too many fumes and their brain cells have been compromised.
See, it's not just me. It's not just me, right? You thought it was just me being too hard on these idiots on The View. Thank you, Kennedy. Now, Kennedy's going to continue, and when she's finished, you're going to hear what I said. I just about, I would say, mimic Kennedy, but I said it first. I'm not saying she heard me say it. My point is, I said the same thing because it's so obvious. It's so stupid. It's so stupid saying that, indicting white women because they want to vote in a way that will make their husbands and kids succeed. Isn't that what just so Kennedy says it? And then I tacked on to it what I said on Tuesday. So here's cut J6.
Number two, she's saying that moms want their children to do well and their husbands to do well. What a bunch of racists. So they're going to vote for people to make sure their families succeed. Wow, this country has really gone to hell. That's how most people vote. Most people vote because they want their husbands, their spouses, their kids especially, to have as much opportunity as they can in this country. That's not racism. That's rationality.
So white women are voting for the party that their husbands would vote for because they want their husbands and their family and their kids to do well. Excuse me? Isn't that why you would vote for somebody? What the hell? So in addition to arrogant and pompous and an ass and stuck up, which is pompous, she's also an idiot. Okay. She hits the quadfecta, if there's such a thing. There you go. There you go. How could your take on what she said be anything else? How could your take on what she said be anything that she's dumb as a doornail, makes no sense, throws the word racism around, and gives the absolute legitimate, the most legitimate reason for voting for someone, and then calls it racism? It doesn't even register on the sense meter. So I'm glad I found Kennedy who agreed with me. Now, unfortunately, since she said that, actually the next day, which was today, I don't think it had anything to do with that. I'd be shocked. They canceled her show. Not Sonny Hostin, not The View, Kennedy. Fox canceled her business show on Fox Business Channel. Nobody really knows why. And she will stay on, you know, doing hits, guest appearances, panel appearances on the Fox shows that she currently does them on. But that's terrible. That's terrible. So I'm sorry for Kennedy. Okay. You need to hear this. The question is, do we have enough time? Yeah, we could get two in here. Stephen A. Smith, ESPN, also has his own podcast, Stephen A. Smith Show. And we talked about this. I talked about it in a Give Me a Minute segment, which runs during the course of a day throughout the day on TNT radio. You may have heard this. You may not have. I talked about Chicago over the Memorial Day weekend. And Stephen A. Smith, who is black, had this to say about Memorial Day weekend and Chicago. J7.
I don't even want to get into what happened in Chicago, but I have no choice. This past Memorial Day weekend, from Friday to Monday, at least 53 people were shot, 11 fatally, according to police. If one black person was killed by the police, we'd raise holy hell, and in some cases, there'd be riots in the streets. And damn it, I'm not here to sit up there and blame anybody for that, because I'm tired of the nonsense that we've seen going on in the streets aimed at black Americans. That's not where I'm going. What I'm saying is, where's the due diligence when it comes to putting a spotlight on what we're doing to each other? Because this shit is pissing me off.
There you go. Now, I disagree with him. I don't know what the hell he's talking about with blacks. He's still claiming blacks are being targeted and killed by cops. Come on. Come on. Look at the statistics. But let's stick to the issue here, and let's play the next one. Cut J, 8.
53 lives. 53 in one weekend. It's not the first time this has happened. It's been happening year after year after year. Chicago, St. Louis, Baltimore, the list goes on and on. Where's the noise at? Where's the protests? Where's mainstream media talking about that? Where is it? That's what I want to know. Because let me tell you something. Nothing else matters if we're dead. Nothing else matters if we're killing each other.
He's absolutely right. And I said in my Give Me a Minute, which I think already aired this week, I said, you didn't hear about it in the mainstream media. You didn't hear about it in the media outside of the city of Chicago much at all, because it doesn't fit the narrative, because the shooters who shot the 53 people and killed the 11 people in Chicago, including a 2-year-old was shot, a 77-year-old was shot, doesn't matter, because the shooters weren't wearing MAGA hats. They weren't white supremacists. They didn't support Trump, and that didn't fit the media narrative. So the media couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. To them, it didn't happen. Didn't happen. It's a sin. It's a shame. It's outrageous. Every one of those victims should have been highlighted. And but it's not only Chicago. They had the worst of it. But on holiday weekends, Chicago traditionally and Philadelphia, all these big cities, it's a shooting spree. And they're not AR-15s. How's that? That's another reason the media couldn't give a rat's behind. Folks, Jason Olborn is next with Compass, his show. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Tell your friends, tell your enemies. I'm Steve Malzberg right here on TNT Radio.